lazy obsessor. Used to praise the possessor. I give you the keys to my car, but you pumped up and depressed. Does it ever get better?
Get high and low like the weather.
Does it ever get better?
Greetings. I have a question for you on this beautiful day. Have you partaken of the nectar of justice that drips down from the flowers of absolution that are born from the tree of truth? It's waiting for you to take a drink. I'm Justin. This is Stevie D. You just heard the ramblings and ravings of one Daniel Taylor, who is joining us.
What's that?
On this blessed day, hopefully post drinking the nectar that is waiting for you if you find the tree that beareth the flowers.
If you search for the nectar, you'll find the nectar.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, So anyway, I've known Daniel for a little bit here, and I was like, hey, Daniel, pop on over. Let's get her done.
You know? I popped on over.
And so we already drank some of the nectar.
That's what's wrong with us right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the issue.
We blame it on the nectar.
Too much nectar this morning.
The nectar of justice. That's a track that he's been working on. Are we name dropping? Did we decide if we were name dropping?
Well, let's put it in his court.
Yeah, let's name drop. So this song, the mix is not done. I'm getting it professionally mixed and mastered. But I will have my friend Madison on it doing the choruses, which you guys heard. Also, I've got one of my favorite artists, Asaya Ziv, will be featured on that. And he sent his verse over to me a little bit ago, and I'm very excited about it. Listened to it 15 times on my ride home from work.
Nice. Yeah. And I know that feeling.
It's going to be super cool, so I'm excited.
Yeah. So what's the name of the track?
So it was originally titled Nitwit, but the part that had Nitwit in it I took out to have Asaya Ziv in it. So I'm thinking I actually might have it be like Nitwit part one and do like a three-part for it.
Okay.
And have it titled something else, and I don't exactly know what that is yet. But we're having a music video along with it, and so we're going to have hopefully a couple music videos around the same kind of storyline.
Yeah, awesome.
But yeah, super excited.
So you guys are getting to be in on like the backstage looking ins of a song before it's completely finished. So
yeah.
Daniel Taylor, what was the name of your last project?
My last EP was Cancerous Kaleidoscope.
Cancerous Kaleidoscope. Because when I was on Spotify, there's quite a few Daniel Taylors, but there is no other Cancerous Kaleidoscope.
There's no other Cancerous Kaleidoscope.
Yeah, it's a great name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What made you decide on that?
I've titled a couple songs that throughout the years, and none of them actually released. And I liked the idea because it's kind of a kaleidoscope, something you're looking through and just kind of distorted view. And cancerous, you know, they fit well together as words, but it's also just like, it's about like looking at things wrong and like different perspectives and kind of having like a skewed view on life and stuff. And that's what growing up is trying to get past that.
Yeah.
And I love alliteration too. So that's one thing is like there's an alliteration that's happening there. That's the right word, right?
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because you're the word guy.
Yeah, that's what it is. So.
You guys are both kind of word guys. Yeah. You might say several words that I don't know what they mean, and I'll just ask you about it.
Wordy is my middle name.
Oh. So you heard it. Daniel Wordy Taylor, Cancerous Kaleidoscope.
A little wordy. Young Wordy on the track.
Young Wordy. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the song, inspiration, like where the song came from.
Yeah.
Where it was birthed.
Where it was birthed.
The birthing pits.
The birthing pits. So this song, this was like the first real one I worked on since the EP. And the writing process, I'll write a little bit, make a beat around it, finish the song out. And so for this one, I actually had a very different chorus on it. And then I went ahead, Madison come on it. We weren't feeling it, and she had written something, and I was blown away and liked it so much more. So we did that. But for my parts, the writing process, a lot of it was I like to write kind of about like obviously like what you're going through, mm-hmm. but this one was kind of like almost like a commentary on my insecurities, mm-hmm. and so that was kind of cool to throw that out there and be like, I was like getting in front of it, being like, yeah, like this and this and this, and so I've got parts about, I think in that first verse actually I've got parts about like showing it to the kids I work with at my other job, and getting some negative feedback from them about some of my stuff and yeah. like how that affected me, and then just like getting through like letting it not affect me and stuff like that. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. We've talked quite a bit on some other episodes just about like the power of vulnerability in mm-hmm. music and how that translates to people listening.
Yeah.
It makes it way more appealing, I think, for me yeah. as a fan, like when music is transparent, regardless yeah. of if it's even just lyrical content, because mm-hmm. it can be a vulnerable performance on a guitar or whatever, but just
yeah,
it's super powerful to have that, you know, vulnerability in music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we also talked quite a bit about like using music personally as like therapy.
Yeah.
You know, working out yeah. stuff, like getting things out. And,
yeah.
How powerful that is.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful, because that's like basically most of my songs come out of me being like, okay, I need to get through this. I'm going to sit down, write a song about it, get it all out of my system. And so a lot of my songs are super extreme and super emotional, because it's me just throwing everything into it, trying to get it all out of my system.
Yeah. And it's,
yeah.
if it's like in the moment, it's like, it's when it's yeah. the most powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it, you can go back to like an old lyric you wrote and you're just like,
yeah, dang, exactly. Right. You know? Yeah. I actually have, I don't know what song's on. It might have been something I wrote down, but I wrote something like, "The beat is my therapist."
Yeah.
And I was like, that's, you know, just get it all out.
Yeah.
You
it's know? Better than putting a hole in your drywall.
Oh,
or popping somebody in the face and going to jail.
Too real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw a meme recently that was like, white guys, angry white guys be like, and then it's just a fist and it's this drywall missile. On it. That was pretty yeah. hilarious.
Yeah.
I was like, accuracy.
You guys don't deal with anybody breaking drywall in your line of work, do you?
No, man.
Never.
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 Would that happen?
No, not our kids.
Yeah, they're little angels.
Yeah. Hope they don't see this.
So,
shout out to the source Spokane.
Yeah.
We love you guys. Yeah. Go to bed on time, please.
Oh, man. Before I say anything that I shouldn't, let me change the subject a little bit. So what was the artwork inspiration for Cancerous Kaleidoscope? Because there seems to be a pretty yeah. solid through line.
Yeah. So what happened was, so I have in the artwork, I've got, we kind of did a photo shoot, and there's two guys wearing sheets with the ghost eyes drawn on it. And that was a lot of my stuff, I'm like, oh, this would look cool, or like this kind of line sounds cool, and then I like make it into something. And so, you know, that point in my life was like a huge turning, like one of the biggest turning points in my adult life. And so it was kind of like, here's like the passage dead behind me. Because in the artwork itself, the album artwork, it's them on a roof holding weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But in some of the other pictures, it's me and they're kind of behind me. And it was kind of me putting the past behind me, which was big. Yeah. It was a weird phase of life. Yeah. But, yeah. I actually, well, we'll just go into it. I was dating this girl and then wrote this EP. A lot of it was about her. And then we broke up 3 days before it came out.
Dang.
And so, yeah, so that was all.
That's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Translates into some good art.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I'm excited for like these new steps, because now it's like this whole new phase of life, and the new stuff will be good. I'm excited.
Do I know the people that are the ghosts?
No.
Okay. I just thought that would be funny. But yeah, I thought it was interesting how they're pretty like chill on the roof
yeah.
photo. Like they're just kind of like,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool, but
yeah, we did a lot of them. There were some goofy ones, and that was kind of the one in between ones where it felt like it was goofy enough but serious enough, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool.
So I wanted to talk about a little bit about the sound. It's different. It's very different. There's quite a few elements about it that make it unique,
mm-hmm.
I think, as a listener, but wanted to kind of hear, you know, more from you, like, how did you come to this point where You know, who are some of your inspirations? How did you come to this point where that's the style that's coming out of you when you're creating?
Yeah, so I've got, like a size if, you know, he's like, I love his stuff and he's got some influence there. But, you know, I listen to a lot of rap and I can't really rap. And so it kind of, I kind of wanted to start doing hip hop stuff. And so the first song, Since You Said Goodbye, I downloaded a beat and just was going to see what came out, and that's what came out. And so there's a lot of, like, old, like, punk pop influence, which a lot of people, like, when talk about high school punk pop is, like, Taking Back Sunday, Blink-182, and that kind of stuff. And I wasn't allowed to listen to that kind of stuff. So I listened to a lot of, like, Tooth and Nail, like, Ivory Line, Classic Crime, those kind of guys. And so that's a lot. And then later it was, like, Mayday Parade and, like, Seosin and people like that. So there's a lot of that punk pop influence, especially in, like, the writing style and the melodies. Mm. And so that's what comes out, and then I just try and make it word over a hip-hop beat.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I feel like it came something unique, which is nice because I always feel like I am copying something else, and so it was nice to be able to finally have something where I was like, okay, here's me taking influence from these other people and throwing it on to other stuff. And there's the whole, like, emo trap thing that takes a lot of that, and so I try to shy away from that whole sad boy kind of thing.
That's awesome. I know a pretty awesome band. One Small Army. You should probably hook up with them at some point and do something
Justin's
together. Have you ever thought about working with, like, live musicians on? Because just that punk pop influence piece, it would be really cool.
Yeah, I thought about it. So when we did the EP release show, I had two of the guys from this band called Therapy, spelled Thrippi, I believe, or P-I-I. I don't know. Sorry, Wes. So the guy who made my music video, he plays drums and he's in the band Therapy, and then their bass player played. And so when we did the live show, it was pretty pumped up because they're both in a metal band. So they were adding that influence. And so that was really fun. We were able to rock out a little bit and fulfill that little bit of, like, the inner rock star, you know,
awesome.
Kind of like feel. So,
It's performing, man.
Yeah.
It's a big reward on,
doing
what you do. Mm-hmm. So where was that at? Where was that show at?
That was at my buddy's garage.
Okay, cool.
At Dylan's garage.
Yeah.
A bunch of people came out for it?
We had, like, 20, 25.
Yeah, fun.
So it was fun. It was fun. But that was another thing where I was like, you know, I wasn't expecting a whole lot of people come, but it was kind of that. You know, there was, like, not a whole lot of people there. So actually in the second verse of this next song was going off of that and being, like, talking about that and the insecurities in that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So music video. I don't think I've seen a music video.
Good.
Oh, really? Okay. I was going to pump it.
Yeah.
We're
so
scratch the music video.
Yeah. Well, the first one was for Since You Said Goodbye. And so Wes did the music video, and he is amazing now and was back then. But the quality is not as good as his quality now, but it's still good quality.
Yeah.
But it's just a bunch of me and my friends dancing and us in the back of a car and us on top of cars. And I wanted to make a music video and I was diving into hip hop for the first time. So I,
like, whatever goes.
Yeah. One of my old friends from high school, I met up with him and we were talking about it. And he said, it kind of looked like you were trying to be the White Drake. And I was like, oh, you're right. That's what it is.
Oh, no.
So the next one's going to be way different. We actually recorded a music video for Ghost, which is off my EP. And we did some recordings, like, at the show and some stuff. And we had a cool concept for it. But Wes had just gotten a bunch of new gear. And there were some complications. And all of the footage got corrupted.
No.
So,
great.
Yeah. So there may be a way that we can salvage some of it. But at this point, I'm kind of trying to move forward with it. And so we've got some really cool ideas for the new stuff for this next song. And so Madison, who sang in the chorus, she's going to be in that one too.
Awesome.
And we'll have some fight scenes and stuff. That'll be good.
So is Madison, is she a local artist too? Or where's she at with her? Does she write? Does she have
She writes. She hasn't, I don't think she's released anything. She might have on, like, a SoundCloud from a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But she's an amazing songwriter. Mm-hmm. And you can tell from the chorus, you know, she wrote most of that. So we're recording actually some of her acoustic stuff. She's mostly acoustic stuff, but she's really, really good. I was super impressed. So
you have some acoustic elements in some of your stuff.
Yeah.
You must play some instruments.
Yeah, I play guitar, and that's mostly, I play a lot of instruments mediocre, you know?
Yeah, same.
And so So I was learned drums at first. And then that's what I was able to transfer over with a lot of, like, the drum beats I do, because I make those beats or make the drum parts. And but I know bass banjo, mandolin, guitar, keyboard. But all of those I know, like, enough to play on a worship team, but not not enough to make anything, like, really good out of it, you know?
Whoa!
So, yeah. So I think, yeah.
Selah, marinate on that for a minute.
But it means accurate.
For the most part, yeah. Yes. I would say, yeah. There's some good
worship. Specifically church, like your typical church, you know, like the four chord kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I only say that because, like, those are the – I learned them literally enough that I could play them on the worship team because I was a worship leader, that I could be like, okay, this song I want to play.
And then you find out 15 songs actually have the same progression.
Yeah.
Maybe in just a slightly different order. 15 is actually understating.
But. Yeah, so you learn one chord progression and then you know half of them. So, yeah.
So really quick before I forget – are you going to work the fact that you are White Drake into any of your songs?
No, I will not be doing
that's
that.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say, I mean, from what I heard, that was the statement that made the video kind of be like, no.
Well, no. So I had already been feeling weird about the music video, and it had come out, and it was fun. Like, yeah. It was a lot of fun. And you can watch the video, and you can be like, okay, these guys are having fun. And it was actually funny because it was a lot of my friends that I used to go clubbing with back in the day in my clubbing days, and so we were all just dancing and having a good time. And but it's kind of embarrassing, you know. It's like I'm not a good dancer, and here I am dancing and doing all these hand things, and I don't know what I'm doing. And so so I was not a fan of it before he said that, but when he said that, I was like, oh, that's literally what I've been trying to put into words. Right.
That was the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
A little bit of a disturbing image, but gets the point across.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So I guess we didn't really ever sort that out. We talked a little bit about doing interviews after we jump into a subject, so did we just bypass that
whole
piece?
I think we did a little bit.
Should we segue or?
We can segue. We can segue wherever we want.
All right.
That's the beauty of a segue, is that you can go wherever you want.
Yeah.
You know, middle of the road. Who cares?
Yeah.
You don't even have to walk.
That's awesome.
Because you're just standing.
As long as you charge it up. You know?
Yeah.
Just lean forward.
So let's use content from both sides of the segue to segue.
Yeah.
Great.
So you were discussing a question about, and I feel like we're kind of on this topic anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
The music videos and stuff.
Yeah. The relationship between the visual and the auditory. So this kind of became a question. It's been a question in my brain for a long time, but I wanted to make it a podcast topic because I read an article about, and I might get some of these details a little bit wrong, but the basic crux was the oldest rendition of any kind of theater production was a cave painting where it was like a depiction of a theater production with an audience and everything. But there was musicians that were playing to the production.
Oh,
so in the very earliest rendition of a play that anybody has seen, they had music to it. And I thought that was super interesting because on the surface, you wouldn't think that someone would connect the two. Like we do because so much of our visual has music elements. So music videos are super common now.
Yeah.
Movies all have music for the most part. The ones that don't are the exception, right? And so I thought that was really interesting, and I wanted to bring it up for the podcast because, just asking why. Like, why is that a given now? Like, why?
Right. It'd be a cool experiment is to upload, like, a movie clip and then strip the audio back. Or maybe play the audio the way it is, then strip the audio back, and then us create something underneath it that completely is different, and watch how it changes the scene.
Right. You know, actually, have you seen Drive, the movie Drive?
Yeah.
It's got one of the greatest soundtracks of all time. So BBC One hired all these bands like Churches, the 1975, Bring Me the Horizon, The Foles, and they rescored it. And it's super different. It's all a different feeling, but it's super cool.
Yeah.
So I like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you ever watch a scene, I've done it before in school. We actually had to create music for a scene, and we can pick these different movie clips. But when you peel back the audio that's originally there and you watch it played out without music, I think unless specifically they're doing that on purpose,
Just
everything changes, like how much emotion and how much energy goes into what you feel on the scene.
Yeah.
That's completely aside from, you know, the actor's performance or any of that stuff.
Yeah. So when I was doing, I went to, I did one semester for music tech and, or audio tech. And we did that. We scored a student film and it wasn't good. But what we did do is we had to like bring a scene from a movie, and the one I brought, and we're talking about the music in it, and there's a scene in, it's either Deathly Hallows Part 1 or 2, the Harry Potter ones, and it's the where they're running through the woods from the guys who are like, it's Ron, Hermione, and Harry, and they're running from the, whatever those guys are, they're trying to catch them. And they're running through the woods, and everyone's like, they're fighting each other, but there's like almost no, like it, there's no music, you're just hearing like these like really reverbed out like thuds of their like feet and like wands hitting trees and stuff like that. And then it slowly builds with like a single like cello note or something like that or something like that. And I think that's so cool because like what you're saying, like it strips down, you take so much away. When they do that on purpose, it can be like this super cool, like beautiful thing.
It's
it
like
builds tension really well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like space within a song. You know, the space where we were talking about this, where the space that there's no music played makes it powerful when music is played.
And,
I mean, that's how we interpret, you know, rhythm. And or even like the way a bridge breaks down, you know, you strip some things back and this makes it powerful, especially when you come back in with, you know, something more full. So what is the deal? Some cool science is film, right? Most film, I think the maximum, I'm going to butcher this, but I know the maximum setting on any camera that I've messed with lately is like 60 frames per second, but most people working with like 30 or 29.
I think it's 28 is most film.
Oh, okay.
But I could
there's 24, right?
Yeah.
So that's 20, let's just say 29 or 28. Anyway, it's pretty close, right? Frames per second happens. And we see it as like a steady motion with our eyes. Professional audio is 44.1, right? So if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's 44,000 samples per second.
It's a lot.
And honestly, if you drop it below 44.1, so the MP3 is probably, no, I think MP3, the high version is on 40. But if you cut 44 in half, and I want to say maybe it's 20, maybe it's half of 44.1, and it's 22,000 samples per second.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
If you cut that number in half, you will hear issues.
Yeah.
You know, it will be glitchy. It will sound like something that was done badly in 1983 or something, you know?
Which you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you take like an MP3 file versus a WAV file, you can't really hear that much of a difference, even though there's such a big difference.
Yeah.
But then you get like a crappy YouTube video where they upload the song with some weird lyric video and it's really bad, so you can totally tell.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Yeah. It's kind of funny.
So your ears are like crazy more sensitive than your eyes.
Yeah, I don't remember how many frames our eyes process, but part of the math is like as to why it, that number works is when they go above that, it makes people sick a lot of times. And so a lot of filmmakers want to avoid going to faster frames. Yeah, I don't
know. So it's weird.
It is, but they filmed The Hobbit, the first one, that way, and it was making so many people sick that they stopped showing.
That's just their excuse for making an awful movie.
Yeah, that's true. Shots fired. Peter Jackson, call me. We have some questions. But it's that to me, it's, I don't know. There's something about that I don't really understand. Like, because to me, I process music very much in a musical sense. And I don't know if everybody does that, but it's very much like, and you're smiling because you're like, obviously you would. But let me explain that. As a guitarist, I listen and I'm like processing the guitar part. I'm processing the drum separately.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, here's what the drummer is doing. Here's what the guitarist is doing. I process it like that. And then as I listen to it, it becomes more of like a wall, right?
Yeah.
So I look at the bricks first and then I back up. And then, but it's not really visual. Like I don't imagine like a story that's happening.
Right.
You know, I just see it as kind of like, there's no visual representation in my brain.
Yeah.
So why did we automatically jump to that? Or I mean, I guess that makes sense for a music video.
Jumping to making a music video?
Yeah.
Out of music?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I see where you're going. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why that was an obvious thing. And maybe it was just a medium thing, like, okay, radio's kind of...
diving down.
Yeah, so maybe let's try a different medium, but then there had to be some visual component.
Yeah. Well, I think it probably has a lot to do with if you look at, like, you know, obviously everyone loves a live show. You know, if you like a song, you're going to prefer a live show, typically.
That makes sense.
And so I think, like, probably earlier music videos were a lot of that, were just, like, essentially, like, live performances with the music put over it. And then it's kind of evolved into what it is now. But, I mean, I remember as a kid, like, I would listen to music and imagine a music video in my head. And so... a lot of times they were a lot different when I actually saw the music videos. I did not think the lead singer Third Day looked like that for many, many years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, same. Yeah, I think for me, I interpreted a lot of music that I liked. Mm-hmm. You know, is I would visualize. I mean, they were talking about what I was going through.
Yeah.
You know, or they went through the exact same thing.
Right.
You know, so I just probably imagined, you know, my life. Yeah. Like the girl breaking up with me.
Mm-hmm. Just replaying
you
that
being
moment.
The lead singer walking
up. I'm so glad they wrote, Aerosmith wrote the song Crazy for me.
Yeah.
It's like you're in the back seat and it's raining and you're looking out the window and you just kind of put your hand up.
Yeah.
And you're like, my life is full of pain.
And that is why music videos.
With their suitcases. That actually might be an Aerosmith video.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably why they started making music videos like that, because everyone was imagining it and they were like, oh, let's give it to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know?
It is strange when you get a video that's nothing like how you interpreted it.
Yeah.
Song.
Yeah.
That kills me.
Yeah,
there's
too.
A music video where I was like, it's either like a serious song and they do it goofy or something like that. It's just,
or the storyline doesn't, for me, match up at all
with
what's happening lyrically in the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
Or they have like a whole nother twist where it's like the song, like it kind of goes one way and then the music video takes a weird twist at the end and you're like, no, come on.
Yeah, I don't think, and I think that's a huge bane of music videos, is like, it's too distracting. And so you're not even processing the song anymore.
Yeah.
You're like, what?
Well, I think that's the thing is, you know, when you listen to music, you're listening to music and you're either like immersing yourself in it and just doing that, or you're just listening to his background stuff and still fully like taking it in. But then with music videos, I think it is more about the music video. It's just like a movie, like we were talking about earlier. It's like a movie and this is the backtrack.
Yeah.
And it's more so because, you know, you're like, especially if there's like singing along, then you're actually processing them together. But I think it is a lot of times music videos are more about the videos than the music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about pop culture and different things, but you made a good point about, when they first started, bands, I can't remember if it was you or if it was you, but mentioning like TV coming out. So TV come out, I'm butchering this.
No, you're good.
But TV coming out and it being a huge marketing tool.
Yeah.
Right? People are like, TV comes out and it's like, everybody's, you know, if you have a TV, you know, everybody on the block wants to come over to your house that night, right, to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're cool. And it only airs for like 3 hours a day or something.
Yeah.
But, I'd imagine people making money are looking at like, okay, how can we use this tool to promote music further, right? Because people are drawn to it. And so there's really the simple reality of even like bands that are very artistic or artists that are very artistic, there's probably a small percentage of their fans that are actually really, really diehard fans, want to be in it for the music, you know, really. And then there's other people, right, that are just like, oh, he said that. That's got a crazy title.
Yeah.
We're going to play it for our friends, you know. And,
yeah.
Or, you know, the silly stuff around, you know, the things we make fun of about pop culture. But, that's interesting. Because, like, I think about that. I wonder what the percentage is of people that are actually like, man, the music and, you know, using a company like UFC, for example, MMA.
Yeah,
I hear them
talk
a lot about, like, we have like a 15% are like diehard fight fans, you know, and the rest are like their friends are going to a fight or, you know, they heard about it and they're trying it out.
Or there's going to be beer and wings and so they're going to go, you know,
But think about that, 15% or, you know, 20%, like a huge part of their market are the casual, you know, casual people, man.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because for me, it's like I don't really listen to music casually because I'm like, this is valuable time. Mm-hmm. And so if I listen to music, I'm like, I'm going to listen to some music. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially, you know, with podcasts competing. So it's like, that's valuable time. I don't listen to podcasts I don't like. Yeah. I don't listen to music that I don't feel super great about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't understand that perspective. It was just like,
I don't do a lot of things casually. Like even movies, like my friends will be like, some of my friends will be like, oh, I went and saw this movie. You should go see it. I'm like, oh, was it good? And he's like, oh, it was all right.
Yeah.
Why do I want to go see a movie that's all right? You know, so, tell me about the great ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'll go see those.
Well, I do get that to some extent because, well, for me and my friends, we will have fun seeing terrible movies because we're like, that was the worst. And we turn it into experience. Like, we'll go to eat afterwards and we'll spend like 3 hours talking about it.
But then it's not even about the movie. The movie is just a medium for like you guys being able to goof off and be like, oh, this was so dumb, you know.
Yeah.
Which I agree. I do the same thing. You know?
Yeah. So, it's not even something that's great about the movie. It's what's great about
that. So that's not casual. You're not casually going to watch something. You're being intentional about hanging out with your friends and making a mockery out of a stupid movie. You know?
And that's what's so funny to me is like these are multi-million-dollar failures. Just as a side note,
shout out to Nicolas Cage.
My boy, Nick Cage.
Look how they massacred my boy.
So we need that machine that like press all the buttons, got the weird sound effects to go along with all the things Justin says.
Yeah, we really need one. But
as we progress, we're going to get there.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys caught my reference just now. If you didn't, then nobody who's listening.
I've heard you say it before.
It was supposed to be a Godfather meme, but anyway, let's just move on. What was I even saying?
Nick Cage wasn't it.
Oh, yeah, Nick Cage.
Casual.
It would take too long to explain it. Yeah. Anyways.
Of people do casually do a lot of things, you know? And honestly, most artists that are like artists that I know don't do many things casually.
Yeah.
We're kind of OCD about things and, you know, really like, I mean, even MMA, so this is funny for me, but like 7 years ago, and I use UFC as a reference, my son, did I say 7 years ago? Yeah, it was about six, seven years ago. Anyway, it was around Christmas time. My wife took him to the store, and my wife's like, what do you want to get daddy for Christmas? And he's like, a punch him in the face, right? Because we used to always rough around and fight and stuff. And so she's like, okay. And so she found this old MMA video and brought it home. I've always been a fan of boxing. Early on when UFC, when I first was starting to watch UFC, I'd kind of just come out of a different lifestyle, so I was really sensitive to, like, watching people fight and try to hurt each other on purpose because of just some things that went on in my old life.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really watch it, but I still always loved the art of boxing. So I watched this video, and I just get enamored into UFC and MMA culture. I watch one video, and I'm like, whoa! Like, I'm studying champions, and, where's the, you know, lightweight division been at? And, you know, still to this day, it's kind of embarrassing and nutty, but, like, just the information in my brain, because I'm into that.
Yeah. Your
brain. My brain.
Like the whole nerding out thing.
Or
you know.
Brain. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of artists, they nerd out, you know, when they're after something. But there's a lot of people that, you know, the listeners, the large mass, you know, that aren't that way.
I think that's really interesting to look at is, like, the artist's brain is so unique, and to look at that as like most of the artists you know, like don't, you know, like they jump in fully into those things. And I think that's really interesting, and especially with like, you know, like we've talked about like Marvel movies and stuff like that. Like I'm not a big fan of those, but I love like diving in and reading all this stuff about it and figuring those all out, you know?
Yeah.
And same with like, you know, like music, you know, like if I'm going to be doing music, like it's not like super restful. Like it may like rejuvenate me, but it's not super restful, you know? Mm-hmm. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to watch Netflix. And even then, like if I'm like sleepy, I'm not going to watch anything that I actually care about, you know, because I want to be invested in it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and see, that's even funny. I'm not even casual if I get into Netflix, you know? I won't watch a bunch of different things, but if I like something, like I'll watch all of that.
Yeah.
And there's usually a point even, you know, in something that's connecting with what's going on in my life or might start out like I'm just vegging out, but
Yeah.
Well, I don't think anybody watches Netflix casually, at least not very many, because that's why you've got the endless scrolling thing that happens to everyone, where they're just like trying to find that one thing that will that they can invest themselves in, because they don't just want to watch some random thing, or else they just pick the first thing that pops up.
Yeah, unless it's Netflix and chill culture.
Then. Yeah. Yeah.
Or like your show just got over and you're like, I need something to like get over.
To cure the depression. Like, yeah.
I guess I'll try this.
Yeah.
This sucks. Oh, this makes it worse.
Yeah. And then you're just too lazy to go pick, like, go turn off the TV. So you watch two seasons of it. And,
it happens. Yes. It happens to everyone.
To the best of us.
Real life.
Oh, gosh.
What else we got? Got any other points you want to bring up on the video? Video with audio?
Yeah, we got a little bit sidetracked, I feel.
Just because, a little bit.
Because. No.
No, I know.
But basically, I like where my brain is at.
I'm saying brain.
I don't know, but I think I'm gonna do that every single time now.
Can we just leave it to this episode and you never say brain again?
I can't promise that, but I can try.
I accept you anyway, but just not on the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're gonna have to ask you to leave.
Okay.
I'm your replacement.
I know a few guys that would be good.
I say brain.
Oh, before we go any farther, Jonathan asked me to ask you about emo trap. I don't know what that means.
Oh, he mentioned that earlier.
All capitals, he said, ask Daniel about emo trap.
Well, speaking of Jonathan Daly, yesterday he was pinned by Dylan Hinkle, so.
Is that a big deal, huh?
That's a big deal.
What, were they training?
No, it was just at work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dylan.
We have a weird dog.
So Jonathan Daly is a training MMA fighter, correct?
Yeah, and he got pinned by Dylan, who's a rock climber.
Wow.
So. Shots fired.
Well, what about the weight
class? I've been
giving
him so much. I was they're similar? Similar. Okay. Yeah.
Rock climbers have crazy strength, though.
Man. Yeah, it's true. I was texting Jonathan all day yesterday and giving him crap about it. Emo trap.
Yes.
What does that mean, first of all? What is he referring to when
okay.
he says that?
So typically emo trap is people like Lil Peep, Lil Aaron, a lot of the littles, little guys.
The lulls.
Yeah. And so typically Lil Lotus is another one. I feel like
that's actually a good name.
I don't listen to him a lot, but I know, like, I feel like he is someone that I look at. I'm like, oh, that's exactly what it is. A lot of times it's pick guitars, like super fast hi-hats, like trappy kind of stuff over it, and then distorted vocals with super emotional lyrics, and it's like a lot of like yelling kind of stuff and stuff like that.
So when he says ask Daniel about it, is there a reference there?
I have no clue what he's talking about. You want to call him up real quick?
We could.
He might hear the inspiration.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know,
on your music.
Uh-huh. And I've talked to him about that. That I kind of have that a little bit of inspiration on there. So that might be what he's referencing. Should we call him up?
I kind of want to, but I don't know if I want to put him on the spot.
No, you should put him on the spot.
Come on, let's call him out. Yeah. This is crazy. We don't have like a phone line in to our podcast yet.
Next caller, please.
Yeah, we'll get that.
Yeah, we want to, because that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Be multi-cameras when we get big after everybody subscribes.
You better pick up. Yeah, you should put it by the mic. If he doesn't, I'll call him.
We'll just take turns. Just take turns calling him.
Yeah, yeah.
He might be busy.
Nah, he's fine.
He just lost his phone. He's digging in the couch right now. Oh, that's a potato chip. Where's my phone?
I think we
5-0-9-2-0.
Well, I probably shouldn't air his entire phone number.
Try number two. Hashtag Jonathan Daly.
Yeah. We can cut this out if he does.
I want to see him fight. I haven't seen him fight.
Yeah.
He's undefeated.
Is he? Is he a stand-up?
He's had one fight, but he's undefeated. I love Brad being like, oh, this is my undefeated MMA fighter friend.
100% of the time, he won.
That's pretty good.
Not wins, he won. The one.
I really hope he picks up because all this conversation about him would be great.
5-0.
Ah, come on.
Is he a stand-up fighter or does he like to fight on the ground?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Usually people don't like dead air, but I thought it was like a nice little break.
I think that air was alive.
Yeah.
You know? That air wasn't dead.
Yeah.
Like the air earlier that Daniel released. over there, that was dead air.
That air is not dead. It's surely alive.
Well, it definitely
air's not dead for.
Dude.
It's the Air Bud and God's Not Dead crossover.
Yeah. So before we go back to the topic that we might not care about, I just want to talk about how much do I want to piss people off?
No, that was dead
air.
How
awful are the God's Not Dead movies?
Oh, my gosh. I've only seen the first one.
I've seen a clip of one, and I was like, that is really not good. That is actually bad. That is actually a bad film.
It I think I've only seen the first one, and it was not good. I mean, as unfortunately most Christian movies are, because of like the budgeting stuff and stuff like that.
I don't receive that as far as the budgeting stuff, because I've seen people with little money do great things.
That's true. Yeah,
I think the problem
is the imagination. Well, okay. Problem.
If we're gonna get
it's
into this,
it's a propaganda problem.
Are we gonna get?
Yeah,
into
that's what I was gonna say. It's like It's like these movies aren't a sermon. You want to make a good movie, but when you try to make – when they try to make a visual sermon, it doesn't work.
Preach.
Mm-hmm. Art.
Jesus himself told parables.
Yeah, which
stories
is an art form.
That weren't real about truths that were. We want to make movie. We want to be like Jesus. Don't do a video sermon.
Propaganda is not art. So art doesn't have an agenda. If you go into a movie – going, okay, this is what the movie is supposed to get across, then it's propaganda.
And I think that's even why, like, the I think it was Ridley Scott made those Bible movies.
He made at least one.
Awful because his, like, his agenda was, like, trying to, like, crap on Christianity.
Yeah, was it the Exodus one?
I don't remember which one he did. There was the Noah one, the Exodus one. I just remember... Yeah,
he didn't do the Noah.
The Passion was good.
Yeah, and I think that was the thing is that I don't feel like that was agenda based. It was like Mel Gibson was like, "Hey, here's a great story. I'm going to make a movie out of it, having nothing to do with like trying to convert people." You know?
Yeah,
telling a story.
Yeah, it was just a depiction of the Passion.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have agendas when they make movies, but it's like an artist. Like, you're not gonna you hope. You know, that your movie is going to speak things, you know, and then you create the production around it, the writing, the screenplay, the actors you choose to try to produce that vision that you have for the production. And then you let the art do the talking. Let it be released and do what it's supposed to do. And just like with a song, you know, I write songs. Exactly. I'm like, man, I hope this lands on people that are really hurting or, you know what I mean? Like whatever the avenue I'm going for is, but I'm not going to be like, if you're really hurting out there, I hope you really feel this song.
I have the way, the truth, and the life for you in this song.
Exactly.
And I think that's why like Christian rap was so bad for so long, because it was literally just sermons. Now you've got people like Lecrae, who's doing great stuff now, and all these people.
New album is like, it's pretty good, I think.
I haven't heard the new album, man.
I haven't listened to much. I've heard some of his stuff, and I know he's doing really good now. But, you know, when it's rappers preaching, it doesn't work.
And, again, we talked about pop culture, you know. I don't mind some of that, but when that's all of it, I'm like, you know, like, I don't want to just – I don't need the gospel preached to me 18 times on an album. Like, you know, I can appreciate that, like, on a track. But, like, you said, for a long time, every artist, it was, you know, it was evangelism, soapbox, hip-hop. You know, it's like, well, what about, you know, you ever have a hard day? Like, tell me about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ever struggle with what you believe? You ever think, like, I wonder if God is out there? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let me see the vulnerability. Let me hear, you know, let me hear the low spots. Like, let's talk about a story. Let's see how you really feel.
Yeah. And I think in a lot of ways, and rap has kind of escaped us a little bit, but oftentimes, not this exact thing, but the self-referential aspect of rap really holds it back sometimes. It's like, because they're like, I'm spitting these rhymes, but every rhyme has to do with spitting rhymes. Right. Is that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's this self-referential thing that doesn't really go anywhere. And it's definitely escaped that recently, but that was one criticism I've always had. And with like metal too, because it's always like, this fake scenario about killing someone all the time, and you're like, "What is even?" Yeah,
Yeah. I think that's a good point. And like the whole like spitting rhyme thing, because the second line on that song is I started spitting rhymes. And it was like, I don't consider myself like a rapper or anything like that, or better than anyone else. But like that was kind of like a commentary on like, I don't want to write about like all these like slutty girls that I could be around and all this money, you know, which I don't have any of those. And, you know,
a lot of people that talk about it don't either.
Yeah, yeah. But like music should be more than that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
There's a time and place for everything. I will say that. I don't want to burn any bridges right now.
Well, yeah, we've talked about it. I don't mind burning some. We've already burned a lot here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Apologies if you really love Christian movies. There are some good ones out there.
Sorry, Kirk Cameron.
Yeah. Recently, probably more than later. But anyway, yeah. I think that people should expect more from their music than, you know, just like you said, the same topic over and over. Is that him?
Yeah, do we want to do this?
Yeah, let's get him on the phone.
We got Jonathan Daly. Oh, he's calling him back.
Yeah, it hung up.
So the guy we were trying to call just called back. So.
Hey, you got a minute? Jonathan?
He butt called him.
Hey, you're on the podcast.
What's up, Jonathan?
No.
Justin had a question for you.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
So when you said ask Daniel about emo trap, what were you talking about?
His music.
Oh. Yeah, but what about, like, what do you mean by emo trap? I'm not even disagreeing.
Just tell us about it. Okay. That's all I want.
Did we wake you up, dude?
I just want someone to tell me about emo trap.
To tell you what it is?
Just everything there is to know about it, you know?
All right.
Okay.
Are you going to watch this if he tells you about emo trap?
Oh, yeah. I watched the entire last one.
Okay. Awesome.
Well, I think we already covered emo trap.
You got 30% more incentive now. 33%.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Hey, when's your next fight, Jonathan? Do you have one lined up?
Yeah, we're talking about you fighting.
Oh, man.
We're also talking about how Dylan kicked you.
I don't have one lined up right now. Just had another baby, and so it's...
Right.
It's hard to make time to get into the gym consistently enough to actually be in a place where I feel like I would be fight ready again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're such a good father, Jonathan.
Oh, thanks, man.
And that's no excuse for yesterday.
I don't know what happened yesterday.
Dylan pinned you. We talked about that on the podcast.
Did you guys talk about that?
Yeah, we sure did.
By we.
Actually, because I have some things to say. If you guys actually talked about it, I have some things to say.
Dude, let's go over it, man. Let's do it.
Did he bite you?
What's that? I can't hear anything.
Okay, can you hear us now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Speak your mind, Jonathan.
Yeah, tell us what you want to hear. What you want the people to hear.
All right, number one, Dylan is a wrestler. I'm not a wrestler.
That's
I don't
fair.
Pin people. You know.
Yeah.
I haven't had to pin anybody since I was 12 years old.
Oh.
Okay.
What I do regularly though, is choke people out, and that's not an option in wrestling.
That's fair.
So.
So are you saying
I didn't play according to my skill set. I played according to his.
So it was a wrestling match.
I don't want to sound like I'm showboating or anything, but, you know, I give him a, we talked about it at the end, actually. I said, well, at least you retired. that's what every, you know, UFC fighter says after they lose a fight. Well, at least the other guy was tired.
Nice. Yeah.
I wore him out.
So
he knocked me out, but I wore him out.
So what you're saying is, if you had fought on more your terms, you would have beat him.
If it were a real fight,
yeah,
I would beat him. On my terms. Everybody, I mean,
yeah, we all totally agree with you. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you all. That's good.
Well, hey,
yeah, That's all I have to say about that. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel.
Killed Dylan.
Daniel fights people.
I hope you watch this podcast.
Yeah. Daniel fights people with a bus by throwing them under it,
and I win every time.
Oh shoot! There's no coming back from that one. Hey, Stevie just threw you under the bus.
We need a bus soundtrack.
Well, anyways, enough about this conversation.
So do you have anything else you want to say to the good people out there? Did he hear me?
Jonathan.
He's gone. Jonathan Daly. If we hear about an upcoming fight, we should blast it on here.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
We should have him on. He's a musician.
Yeah, he and I actually were talking last night about doing a project together.
Yeah.
So he sent me some samples last night. We're going to
He plays guitar too, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was actually telling him last night, he sent me some synth stuff that he made, so I'm going to put some drums and bass and stuff on it and send it back to him. Yeah. He's going to throw some guitars on it, and we're going to...
Boom.
I want to put a bunch of like vocoder vocals and stuff like that on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
I need that plug-in.
I have a pedal that does it so I can put any synth through it and do it live. And then I also got the Roland XJDJI, something like that. I don't know.
How many keys is on that one?
It's little. It's like one of these ones, but I've got a MIDI keyboard that I can run through it.
Yeah, cool.
But I don't have it yet because of Washington State pawn laws. I can't buy it because it's used from Guitar Center, so it's on layaway till the 6th. Very sad.
I just went through that because I tried to buy a pedal yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, you know, got to put it on layaway.
So dumb.
And I was like, but I want it right now.
Right.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, should we conclude?
How long has it been?
I don't know.
I feel like we could go for another hour, but we probably should.
We probably could.
Yeah. We'll just have to have them on again.
That's right.
I'm down.
Yeah, be on the lookout. Let's go back. When the master comes out, where are you planning on dropping it? So I know your old EP is on Spotify.
Yeah. So it'll be on Spotify. It'll be hopefully on every streaming service.
Yeah.
So it'll be on Spotify, Apple Music, all those stuff. Basically, as soon as I get it back, I'll upload it, and it takes like 3 or 4 days to... for them to approve it and stuff, and then I'll be promoting the crap out of it and put it out. And then we'll have a music video as soon as we can get it done, as we can find the time. So,
cool. And what about shows? You got any plans for
nothing in the works yet. There's something, I've got something kind of in the works, but it keeps getting pushed off. So, yeah, we'll see.
I just had a thought.
Hit me.
You were talking about doing doing an event with random... random different genres of musicians.
Folk, blues, rap, metal.
So, okay, upon hearing it,
I
was like, I don't know if that's a great idea. But just in this moment, I realized you're kind of like the perfect bridge artist to make something like that work. You know what I mean?
We could even do this summer, an outdoor mini festival in the backyard of Zion.
Oh, man, I want to do multiple. But I feel like a pen. We need to go to the pen and do like a...
Yeah.
A sweaty show?
Yeah.
Get the sweaty boys out there?
Which one? Is the pin the upstairs one?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I would love that.
Yeah.
And you can rent it out, I think, for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I think so.
I'll look into it. I got another guy who's a hip-hop guy.
Okay.
He's more, straight up, like a boom bap,
who's
90s
that?
Jazzy style. His name's Jaden, but he goes Jaywalkers.
Okay.
Goes by.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's super dope. I got some other people too. You guys could come. We could see if Mallory wants to perform.
Dude, yeah.
Anyway.
That'd be fun. Yeah, we can make like a huge thing out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Fill that place
up. Look forward to that.
Look forward to that.
And we'll
keep you guys posted.
Sounds good.
All right. You want to do something weird or goofy?
I don't know. What weird things?
We're going to go back to drinking nectar now.
Yeah, we're going to slurp up
the... Is that what it was? Nectar?
Yeah. The nectar of justice. I don't know why it's called the Nectar of Justice.
I don't know either.
Oh, he does know why. He knew why before he drank
it. But why the justice?
See you guys next time.
Hey!